Hi, Year 11s. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm here with...
Ebis.
Everton. And the lovely...
Momo Techers, a.k.a. Celebrity.
Crocodile.
A.k.a. Momo Chef, a.k.a. Momo
Techers. Right, that's enough. Moanda. And we're going to be doing just a quick sort of 10-minute podcast where we discuss the character of Mr. Burling, otherwise known as... First name?
Arthur.
Inspector.
No, not the inspector.
I'm a bit of a joke, miss.
I think the boys are a bit embarrassed.
I'm not embarrassed. On the contrary, madam.
Okay, right. Let's stop talking like Mr. Burling. So, what's his role in the play? What do you think?
He's a hard man.
Patriarch.
Oh, I love that. Okay, patriarch. And what was the society like at the time?
Patriarchy society.
A patriarchal society, which means what?
Which means it is run or dominated by men.
Excellent, Everton. So we've got the character of Mr. Burling, and he sits at the head of the family.
Because he's the head of the family and the business.
And exactly. And that quote that we use to remember him is a...
Hard-headed businessman.
Excellent. Hard-headed businessman.
He's not hard, man, you uneducated fool. Sorry, miss. Please continue.
Thanks, boys. So, why is he significant? What does he do to Eva Smith?
Well, he initiates the whole process, the whole chain or key of events.
Excellent.
And he declines when Eva went up to her for asking for more shillings.
Yeah.
He declined it.
Okay, so he refuses to give her a pay rise when she goes on strike. Okay. And why do you think Priestley has used this example of this guy who's refusing to help out someone who just wants a bit more money?
Because as we know, the Burling family are a microcosm of society.
Excellent. Microcosm of society.
Sorry, may I continue?
Yes, you may.
They represent many different kind of people. For example, you have Sheila, which shows the remorse of society, you can say, or the guilt, you can say. Then you have Mr. Burling, who is completely unremorseful.
Excellent.
So you have different viewpoints.
He won't accept responsibility for Eva.
He won't. He doesn't. And him and his wife, even at the end, they don't change or develop in the same way that Sheila and Eric do.
Which shows the difference in generations.
Excellent. So if you were to get a question on the generation gap, which you might do, knowing something about Arthur Burling is really important because he juxtaposes his daughter and son massively. What does that mean? Can you remember?
Massively influences.
Not quite.
When two things are opposite.
Yes.
So he has opposing ideas. Now, there are some key points at the start where Arthur is giving a speech and he's sitting down with the young gentleman. He's sitting down with Eric and Gerald. And he talks about a number of different things. Can you remember any of the quotes for this speech?
Of who?
From Mr. Burling.
Yes.
Where he sounds a bit silly.
Oh, when he talks about the unsinkable,
absolutely
unsinkable Titanic.
Excellent. So he talks about the unsinkable Titanic. Why is that important? Why does Priestley include this?
Everton, please may I answer?
Oh, well, I'll be happy to. Now, Priestley has done this in order to create a sense of dramatic irony.
Excellent.
And what this means is when the audience knows something, but the characters don't.
Good. So we kind of get this picture of Arthur Burling, Mr. Burling, as a bit of a plonker because he acts like he knows everything.
Yeah.
And actually...
Like when he said about the Germans don't want war.
So he says the Germans don't want a war. And why is that significant for the audience watching this?
That is, again, another example of dramatic irony.
Good.
Indeed.
What have they just lived through? Just for the record, we just had to take a brief break for the boys to get
not
their
the
books.
Not the boys. No, one and one.
The men's.
For the men to get
not
their
the
books.
The men's. Uneducated tool. Men is already the plural of man, you fool.
Okay. Sorry. This is not the normal conventional podcast, and I will not be repeating this method.
Why not?
Because you're not very helpful to our listeners. Our listeners need genuine help, and you two are.
I am very genuine.
Where we were. We were at the point where we were talking about the audience and how, why they would react to him saying the Germans don't want a war. Can you remember why that is, Miranda?
Because they just lived through two world wars.
Okay, good. So the audience has sat there and they've come out the other side of World War One and World War Two,
yes.
And they're watching this character, and they sort of naturally are then going to side with anyone that opposes Arthur Berling.
Indeed.
Because he seems so silly. Okay, what else what's significant about Berling's and his view towards social responsibility? Does anybody know?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, Berling in particular, or the way Priestley represents social responsibility?
Well, you could do a bit of both. I think the way that Priestley presents it is interesting, but if we've got a question on Berling, how would we link that in?
Well, one way in which Priestley presents social responsibility and unexpected calls would be the theory that Priestley has used the Berling family as a microcosm of society, which was previously mentioned. Priestley has conveyed most people's views on society through different characters, for example, Inspector Goose is from no particular class, therefore he is unable to place judgment. Or you could say it could put him in a better place to place judgment upon people. Priestley has explicitly shown that social responsibility is shared, hence why the inspector infers that the entire family is somewhat responsible for the death of Eva Smith. Personally, I feel the characters are all representations of society, hence the inspector could be the conscience of society.
Good.
And Eva Smith represents all the wrongdoings in which society carry out. Therefore, social responsibility is shared throughout society.
I like that.
But
go on then.
Mr. Berling
refuses
to accept social responsibility.
Good.
Which shows the, we can say, juxtaposition.
Yeah.
From Priestley's views.
Excellent. Well done, Everton.
Everton? I basically, don't do this, I'm going to be out.
Don't.
I basically helped him in the English.
Did you? Okay, so Miranda's going to read through a couple of quotes that might be significant for the character of Arthur Berling. Off you go, Miranda.
Still, I can't accept any responsibility. If we were all responsible for everything that happened to everybody, we had anything to do with it, it would be very awkward, wouldn't it?
Okay, so here he's... So this... It would be very awkward. You can imagine a real sort of upper class, uptight... just this idea that it's awkward. If you want to remember a key word there, the idea of it being awkward to be responsible for someone other than yourself. Priestley's trying to say, well, I'm sorry if it's awkward, but... Tough. We have a responsibility to each other and we need to look after one another. Do you want to read another one?
That fellow obviously didn't like us. He was prejudiced from the start. Probably a socialist.
A what?
Or some sort of crank. He talked like one.
A what? Sorry, what was he?
Probably a socialist.
A socialist, I think, is what he means. But absolutely, though. So he may well be a socialist. Okay, so I think Miranda was trying to say he was probably a socialist of some sort. And that's exactly right. If we think about the inspector as being a representation of Priestley, then socialist views are going to come through. The fact that Arthur ridicules it shows quite how, as Everton rightly said earlier, quite how much the views and opinions of Arthur, the character of Arthur, differ from those of Priestley. Priestley's views on socialism kind of come through more with the inspector. Are there any quotes there that...
Yes, in his speech, his last words, last sentence was, there's millions of Eva Smith and John Smith in the world.
May I intrude?
Not quite.
But may I intrude?
You may.
My view of... this is completely out of the blue, but my view of the inspector...
Yes.
...is I feel... that although Priestley has used dramatic irony towards the Berling family, the inspector seems to be somewhat omniscient.
Oh, I like that.
Because it seems that he...
Moanda's flicking through his book to try and find out what omniscient means. You've got it, have you? Do you want to tell me what it means?
Speaking about Inspector Gould, Priestley uses Gould.
This is meant to be a podcast on Arthur Burling, but okay.
Yeah. He transferred it to Inspector Gould. Priestley used Gould as a mouthpiece. Let me finish, please. Priestley uses Gould as a mouthpiece.
Gould?
Inspector Gould.
Yeah, Gould.
Okay.
Yeah.
Inspector stands outside the class system of the Berlin social world.
He's
an outsider in the play, but he doesn't take a neutral position. He's on Evert and Daisy's side, and he tells us that the Berlin... He tells the Berlin what he thinks of them, using the Inspector as a mouthpiece, represent as Priestley's voice in the play. Furthermore, the Inspector is significant because it shows that the play would not have been the same without the Inspector in it, as he has the most power in the play.
Good. So back to the idea of sort of socialism then. When the Inspector, in his last speech, he talks, you said that quote, there are millions and millions and millions of Eva Smiths and John Smiths
still left with us.
So this idea of we've got the repetition of millions there,
mm-hmm.
and that's showing that actually this one family, this one victim, whilst they can't change that, what they can change is moving forward, making sure they treat people better. Do you think Arthur Burling has taken on this message?
No.
I agree with you. I think he's very stuck in his ways, and he probably won't change. But who might change?
Sheila and Eric.
Good. So Sheila
Due
and
to
Eric.
The fact that they are very influential.
Good.
Clearly.
Everton's back in the room.
I was already here.
So do we want to finish off then? Any final comments on Arthur Burling?
Yes.
Well, Arthur Burling is an anxious man.
Indeed.
As he tries to make...
One at a time.
Okay, Everton, as I said, he's an anxious man. Please.
No, continue.
No, elaborate.
No, shut up. Please continue.
Okay. He's an anxious man because he tries to make himself seem important.
Good.
By drawing attention to his connection and with his influence.
What are some of his connections?
Who?
The police.
Yeah, good.
And, the mayor.
The Lord Mayor.
He was Lord Mayor, wasn't he, for two years.
As he stated.
Go on.
Sorry. Can I give some insight on Mr. Burling's views?
You definitely can.
So, Burling's belief is that people should look out for themselves, such as his firing of Eva Smith, for in favour of profits. It's a direct challenge to Priestley's idea of mutual support. By labelling socialists as cranks, Mr. Burling is made to appear as part of the problem that the working class were keen to replace.
Excellent. Very good. Right, any final comments on Mr. Burling before I quickly just give a little summing up of what we've talked about?
I do have something for Mr. Gould, which is
We'll do a separate podcast for Mr.
Well,
Gould.
Well, Burling is also selfish.
He is selfish. Yeah. Good.
And I quote... A man has to make his own way.
I like that. A man has to make his own way. And
this is very true. And this brings me to my point in which the way that Priestley presents the impact of social division through Mr. Burling.
Good.
Because one way in which he presents the impact of social division in a play is the differentiation of class and wealth. Due to the fact that the Burlings are middle class and across the upper class, Mr. Burling tries and has many attempts to try and impress Gerald when he bragged about how first class the mill was. He only said that in order to boast towards Gerald, in order to make him aware that they have a cook. This shows Mr. Burling, who represents middle class, looks up and tries to impress Gerald, represents the upper class. This amplifies the fact that the Burlings and Crofts are a microcosm of society. And this clearly...
You like that phrase since I taught you that, don't you?
You didn't teach me.
I so
and
taught you
this
that.
This clearly shows the social division. And this really shows how Priestley presents the characters in the play.
Very good. Right, one final comment from Miranda,
Everton, how Priestley separates the people between wealth and classes.
Yes.
Why are you stuttering?
You agree. Right, I think you two have definitely got a career in radio. So I'm just going to really quickly sum up some main points about Arthur Burling then.
Yes.
We know that he's selfish.
Yes.
We know that he's a businessman.
Indeed.
We know that he is a bit of a fool because Priestley uses dramatic irony to...
Indeed.
Thanks for the
He also plays a very pivotal role.
Very pivotal role. Extremely. He is the catalyst, isn't he, in the chain of events?
Yes.
Not catalyst.
His role is very exhilarating.
Capitalism, good. Okay, right. So hopefully this has been helpful.
This is not finished. We've got another cap to talk about.
No, we're not. No. We're not. We're done for now. No,
are you hard of hearing, good sir? She said that this podcast is only Mr. Burling.
From thank now you. On, I will not be doing these with students. Thank
no,
you.
No, please.
And is... good night. Do you want to say thank you and goodbye?
Yes.
My Instagram is
no.
E_B16.
No.
Thank you.
No. Bye.
We can do one more.